Hi, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Monique.
And welcome to Is Marriage Worth It?
We are just two single chicks, girls, women.
Anything but females.
Trying to figure out what marriage is like and is it worth it?
I'm assuming the best place to get the answers is from married people. Maybe engaged people, newlyweds, and even other singles.
Each episode, we will have a guest answering different questions we have or that you may have about marriage.
Join us as we try to figure out, is marriage worth it?
And if it is, I wonder if my future husband or yours is listening right now.
Hi, I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And welcome back to another episode of
Is Marriage Worth It?
Today, our guests are Delon and Angie, and they are actually my aunt and uncle. And if you have been following the podcast since season one, they are the parents of our guest, Delicia, who was on the pod in season one. So thank you guys so much for agreeing to be on the podcast. So to kick things off, can you just tell us a little bit about yourselves?
My name is Angela Nicholas. I was Angela Nicholas before I got married, and I'm still Angela Nicholas. I was born in Jamaica. I was raised in Jamaica until I was about 7 years old and living with my grandparents. Then I came to the US to live with my mom and dad, and went to school in New York City, left for college in Jacksonville, Florida, where my husband was in the military, and his military came to our school to play, and that's how I met him.
Okay, I'm Delon Nicholas. I was also born in the Caribbean, Dominica. I came to the United States in 1978. I joined the military and went all over the place. Met my wife back in Jacksonville and sometimes about right after that. And that's it.
Alrighty, so you guys have both mentioned that you guys met in Jacksonville, but what was that first meeting like?
I was one that never liked to wear pants, and I was working with the baseball team, and they told me I had to wear shorts that morning. So I put on the shorts and decided I was going to run across the campus before anybody got up and be the first one over there. Not knowing the military team was going to be on the soccer field that I had to cross. So I was running, and then all of a sudden he and three other gentlemen saw me and came over to see me. And now we know that it was my legs that was exposed.
That's what happened. It's probably, it was around across, the white pants, white shirt pants. She had some beautiful legs. I probably just still do. So I saw her, then I approached two other guys came with me too. But that's what we met.
So how did things progress from there after that first meeting? Love at first sight, love at first shorts?
No, because we had something in common. She told me her name and I realized she had the same last name with me. And I said, well, she was from Jamaica and I'm from Dominica. She had the same last name. And then we planned to meet further on. Guy met her and I said, oh, she's just somebody going to school and I come to play. But I told her that I want to see her again. And I didn't see her until maybe I came back.
Did you guys keep in contact in between that?
I was just curious when I met him that he had the same last name. So I was just going to go and research it with my parents, and I just thought, well, maybe, you know, back in slavery days, maybe two masters had Nicholas, one here. So it didn't really hit. And then I said, you know what? Jamaica and Dominica is so far apart. I don't think we're related. So I ended up running into him again in the fall when I went back to school. There was a outing, there was a party that I went to. And I ran into him and he wanted to know how he can get in touch with me. And I was like, you know the school that I'm going to. So you can just come there and ask for Angela because there's not too many of us there. And he did.
Wow. I don't know if I would just go asking around for a person.
So how many people did you have to ask around for to be able to find her again?
I went to the front desk of the school. And I just asked, and they tell me what room she was in, and they called her down.
They just gave you her room number?
He used to call me prior to that. No, it wasn't prior to that. It was after that. They just fell in love with his accent. So whenever he would call me, it took a long time for that call to get to me, because not until they were finished talking to him would they let me go have a phone call.
Just giving up classified information. She's in this room number.
That would not roll today, but, you know, 70s were a different place.
So how did you guys end up together? Did you guys start dating? What happened?
I don't know if we would call it date. We just liked each other. We were friends. And somehow it went from friendship to marriage. He's never asked me to be his girlfriend. Say, you can do it publicly now.
What happened? I think I went to a school one time, and we drove down somewhere by the lake and whatever, and we were talking. And then all of a sudden she come out and she asked me, I just know that woman for a few months old. She asked me, when are you going to get married? And I said, when am I going to get married? So I said, not in the next 3 or 4 years. I wasn't going to get married. So I said, not in the next 3 or 4 years. And then she held me under that 3 or 4 years.
So you know how we always try to go after our future with our own eyes? Well, I was into praying a lot for everything I want in my life. And the Lord knew exactly. I gave him the details of a tall, handsome man. He had to speak French. He came fully packaged. So when I met him, the Lord told me that fall when I went back, that's your husband. But I didn't tell him that. So the Lord says I was going to be married in 3 years. So I asked him, when are you getting married? So when he said 3 years, I knew it was sealed, that this was going to be my husband.
But one thing I want you guys to know, when I say in the next 3 to 4 years, I said that to just push
me off.
Because I knew what she was doing. She was going to school. She wanted to be a pediatrician. So I said, I don't interfere with her schooling, because I tell her not the next 3 years. So she said, that guy, he wouldn't be around. And that's what I did. But the thing is, I stayed and I was I was writing a lot, calling and writing her. And that was the excellent of it, because shortly after we met, I left the military, I got transferred into Texas, and then I ended up in Virginia. But all that time, because I knew her, I kept writing and I kept keeping in touch with her.
So he kept me from talking to anybody else. My whole day was to get home to check the mailbox to see what he had to say. So it was kind of different.
So for those 3 years, you guys were just kind of pen pals?
We met. I visited her once. I went down to Southern Florida. I met your mom and
my siblings. And I was I am the eldest, so therefore I was taking care of my siblings. And when he came, he got on the floor and he was playing with them. And I was like, wow, he's going to make a great dad, because he allowed them to play in his hair. And I was like, ooh. And he is a great dad.
So, and then the next thing that happened, the 3 year came around, it creeped up on me. And I came down for that 3 year about in December. And then she was like, it's 3 years now.
No.
Isn't that what happened?
No.
What happened?
Yeah, that was 3 years that we need to plan the date, because while you were away, you wrote me a letter that we were going to be engaged on my birthday or something like that. It was crazy. It just went from friendship to marriage.
But when you asked me, you tell me, no, that 3 years, 3 years is up. Are we going to get married?
Yeah, I asked it after we were engaged, because engagement doesn't mean you're married. So you engaged me and think that was it? I don't think so.
Wait, so
you put 1 foot in and say, okay, I'm holding you so nobody else can get you. But the actuality is, you got to walk down the aisle. So now I know you just wanted the engagement. Okay.
How did you guys get engaged then?
When he flew When he was away, he came back. Prior to that, it was really crazy because I was going to school and I moved out of my mom's house and I had my own apartment and I did not have transportation. So I was telling him that, and he gave his car to me. Now, you know, his heart had to be with me to just bring his car down and leave it with me. And I was so young and naive, I knew only to put gas in it. He didn't ask me if I had insurance or anything. He just gave me the car. So that's love.
I knew she was going to school. And I wanted to help her. So I was going on a deployment for 6 months. And then she denied it. She denied the vehicle. So instead of parking it in the storage area, I said, I can just drive it down there for to use it. I never think about she having driving truck. So I drove down there for 6 months.
6 years later, we're thinking about it and realize, oh, it was dangerous. What if you had an accident?
Just trusted with your whole vehicle. Okay. So the 3 years came about. She said, when are you guys getting married, or when was he getting married? Okay, just making sure if you guys were on the same page. Were you ready for marriage?
Up until the day he walked, he was not ready.
Up until the day?
You want to know something? She don't like me. I never intended. That was it. So at the first time I say nothing next 3 years, I need that to shy her off. But
I don't know how you accidentally found yourself in this relationship, but you accidentally kept putting yourself to make
serious. She was a very nice person, and I knew she was ambitious, and I just wanted to help her. I said she was an ambitious person, and I said, man, she's down there, she wants to do that, and I didn't want to get into her way of going to school. And I did get into her way because she never went to medical school.
I decided that I wanted to be a licensed physical therapist, and he told me there was a program where he was stationed in Virginia, so I applied up there, and when I got in up there, he said there was no reason for me to live on the dorm since we're engaged and going to get married, and I told him that God will not be pleased with me if I live with him without being married. So my mom had the wedding planned for December. So we went ahead and did our own little thing, trying to not let my mom know so we can still have the wedding. My mom finds out about it. So I didn't get that wedding, and I did not get to invite anybody to the wedding because it was supposed to be a secret. You know, it was me legalizing being with him and not having God upset with me. You know, so waiting maybe one day.
My thing was that I didn't want to get married, so I had to cancel. I said, I don't want all this. I don't want to go to that rehearsal. I didn't want to do anything. And then she said that, then if we're going to bed, then we have to get married. I said, great. And then we get a pastor. There's only one guy that was at the wedding, a friend of mine, insisted he wanted to come. He came, and there was a pastor and an organist, and that was it.
And that day, he looks me in the eyes and he says, Are you sure you want to do this? And the Holy Spirit says he's having cold feet.
Are you sure I'm going to go through that? Because it was canceled. Her mom was mad at me. Everybody, I was making plans for the wedding 6 months prior. They were getting invitations from Jamaica, from wherever. I never told any of my family members because all I know is I'm going to get married.
So did you ever meet any of his family while you guys were engaged / semi-dating?
Yes, I guess one of those that he's talked to for a long period. So Dorcas and Dory. I met the mom when I was in Jacksonville in college. And then I met your other two sisters who were flying, and they stopped in Miami, and I lived in Fort Lauderdale. So they asked me to stop by. So they, I guess they wanted to know, who is this that he is still with? Because I found out now, years later, that he had lots of chicks. So for him to be still talking to the same one, they wanted to know who I was. So I went there and I met them. And when I met your mom when I was in college, he brought us skating. And when we went, they asked me if I was the younger sister. So I said, Nicholas?
Yeah, your mom came down. She came down.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But I'm still here just cracking up that you still, on the day of, you weren't even ready to say I do.
Because I wanted to. I told that I just didn't want to get married. I thought I was going to live my life a single person, period. That's all I told her. And so I said, are you sure you want to do that stuff? Yeah, I didn't want to do it. So she asked, no, well, I was there also.
Wait, how long have you guys been married?
Oh.
41 years.
The best 41-year accident I've ever heard.
All right, so... what was it like after you guys got married? What you said I do, you're married. What was that first year like for you guys?
It was great. I when I come to the realization that was worth doing. You want great?
I had told him when I met him that I did not want to marry anybody that had children. So after I found out he had children, God said he was my husband. I had to obey God. And then I said, if I give him a hard time, then he'll divorce me and God can get mad at me. So therefore, I did things just to taunt him or whatever. And he was the greatest. He would always, anytime I get upset with him, he said, oh, you look so cute. So who could keep a mad face like that? And then he said that one day to me that we're not, that I'm not giving this marriage the full potential. I'm not giving it my all. Why don't we just put the past in the past and just go from here? So he's the one with the belt, the one that didn't want to get married, saved our marriage by telling me that we need to start, you know, afresh and just look at where we are now and where we're going.
Right. I remember having the trouble. She used to say, don't wait for me. Don't wait for me. No, I didn't look for me. Because once I made the commitment at that time, I told her, I am married and that's it. In a sense, I get married once, I am not getting divorced. If there has to be any separation, that's to be on your side. Because I didn't want to get married. Now that I get married, that's it. So that's the commitment I made to myself. For it.
Yeah.
So in a sense, and that's what I told her. So it didn't matter what come up, I said, I'm married. And I'm still the same way. She's been asking me to remarry. I say I'm not unmarried. I cannot remarry. She's been asking me that for I want a big wedding. I say I have a wedding. but that's what it means. But so for me, it's been great. I know the problem she was having. I was still living kind of a single life. In the fact that I was doing stuff on my own, that is, I was not that I was doing stuff on my own. I know she was there. I was into soccer. And
soccer was soccer. First wife.
That was,
and I was the second wife.
So that's what happened. So I went, it's like practice almost every day and I prayed all the weekend. So I just had to do it because it was part of me. So that was the single stuff. It was just, that was the only stuff I was doing that. It was driving them nuts. But I couldn't get away. Oh, she had been, and then you had no cell phone at that time. So I just come to your dress and out to soccer again. So that was a little problem for her, to the point where she wanted to quit soccer.
I did. I'm going to say what was so much passion that he had for this, what was going on. So I joined the soccer team at my college and I realized, this is not for me, but at least I met one lady that said to me, if I have to die, I'd rather die on the field playing soccer. So I said, oh, so this is serious. So when I was playing, when the ball came to me, some of the girls was using their head to headbutt the ball and stuff. I was ducking and said, I don't think I'm going to be a good addition to this team. So I stopped.
All right. So when did you like start giving 100% for yourself after that conversation to put yourself into the marriage instead of trying to push him away?
Immediately after he spoke, the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. I realized I was not doing it right. And say life is not always an up. It's a roller coaster, but at least we're on the ride together. So I promise that I will not go to bed unless somebody spoke that into my spirit. If I'm upset with them, that needs to be talked out. Sometimes you can't speak right away, but you pray for God to open a time frame where you can discuss whatever it is that ails you. Because if not, you to keep it inside, it's going to stir and come out in other ways.
And so what was the transition like from just the two of you to having children?
It was great. We all of a sudden, I was still in physical therapy school. It was my last year. I had my intern that I had to do that summer, and I was doing a project at night when my water broke. So next thing I was in the hospital and had some complications where I did not get out for about 3 weeks. Wow. Until this was going on Christmas. So I told the doctors, if you release me, I will get better. So eventually they released me. And when I was home, Delon was an awesome, he was my mother, my father, my dad, whatever I needed him to be, because I was in school and he was also in school. So having a baby, we would take turns. My grades reflected when I was on duty. So if this week I had DJ, his grades were good. And then when he had DJ, my grades were good. So we went back and forth. And it was just awesome having little DJ. We didn't make it like you messed up our life coming when we're in school or whatever. It was just a welcome.
Really, that would transition to me. So when I had him, we had one room. I slept in that room. I had it the hardest, I know, because she was breastfeeding. And then I had to wake up and go warm the milk or whatever, making milk, and she was getting over to her soup to feed. Ah. So even though she had him in the room herself, then she just put him in the breast, and then she and him would fall asleep. But we did it. 1 week for her, 1 week
home. About that.
So and that's how it went. And then when I had him, there was a problem with the sock, and that's what happened. I took him out for 3 or 4 months old. And I had to go, it was my time to.
Thought he would have given up soccer for
you. You still did soccer?
I took him to soccer in the car. And yeah, when I tell people I left him in the car and go to soccer in the car, funny. But there was another guy just like me. The kid was about 3 months old too. And what we did, he would stay in the car with DJ and his kid, with the car running in the winter. I go play for 15 minutes and I come back, he go play for 15 minutes until the game was over. So I couldn't give up soccer, and here, and we found that. And she had to let go, that's the only way I could. But I was keeping my part of the bargain, I was taking care of it.
The dedication that you have to soccer is wild.
He had a steady plane after DJ. His son had come to live with us. We were in Maryland. And I was really tired of being second best to soccer. Mm-hmm. So I said, if he wants a free life, if he does not want to be married, I need to know now. So I told him, you know, our house is coming up for renewal in Virginia, we can move down there and the kids can have their own room, blah, 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 because we were in an apartment up there. And he said, yes. And I said, well, if he comes home every Friday, he's dedicated. And but if he starts coming home because he has games or whatever he has to do every other Friday or whenever, then I said, then I'll know, am I staying or am I going? So I moved down there, and not only did he come home every Friday, sometimes he showed up on Thursday and sometime on Wednesday. And I said, do you really want to be single or what? So from then, I just said, this man is all in. I just have to share him with soccer.
But the transition was good. It was good. I mean, soccer almost messed me up in school. Yeah, I used to cop school to play soccer. Not cop school, I mean.
Confession.
But the transition, yeah.
Okay. And then you guys had DJ, and then you guys had two more children. So what was it like becoming parents of three?
I loved it. I started off wanting five children when I was young. And by the time we had Jaquina, I felt the need to have one more, because with his two other children, I said, that's my five. I had five. So I was good.
One kid was a challenge. That's what made it really difficult, because the kids were 4 years apart. When the last one came, she was everything that the other two were not.
Well, that's why God gave us in the order. So
she had come for it.
You would have been good.
Maybe one would have been good. She was
everything the other two were not. She was readily done.
So people would go out to meet, and they're like, oh, children, they're so well mannered. And she's going to pack. As soon as she was done eating, she's trying to go. She wanted out of the chair, out of the restaurant. I would say, helped me strengthen my relationship with the Lord. But I love her to death. So they're all three is all different. They're not have their own personality, and we treat them each differently because of who they are.
Mm-hmm. So how did you guys make time for yourselves while also being parents?
That wasn't, we actually, the way we saw it, don't want much time for ourselves. We probably get time for ourselves, but they were part of our life. It didn't matter what vacation we went on, wherever, they were always with us.
When I was young, my parents would take a lot of vacations. Like if we went to Jamaica, we get to stay with my grandparents, and they took off. And I did not like that. So I said, when I had children, everything we do, they're going to be doing it with us. So they probably vacation more than any other. And he loves to staycation, but I like to vacate to the premise. So I would always, I work hard, but I also play hard. So anytime I want to go someplace, I would ask him, and he would say, no, why do we need to go? And I would plan the vacation with him in it. I said, it's easier to take him out than to pull him in. So that keeps the fighting down. And then within a week of us traveling, he goes, oh, what time are we leaving? I was like, yes. So he didn't want to go. But when the time came, he was all on board. And the kids, which he probably had a great time with daddy being there. Because a lot of women don't realize that in marriage, the things that you want to do, if you don't make time for that, that very person that you love, you'll start hating them because you feel like you're being cheated out of what you want. So therefore, I could never say that, because I can't think of a vacation that we were going on as a family that he did not come. So.
And then the kids, sometimes if you want to get away and do stuff by yourself, you're already asking. Sometimes we still have a couple people come, and maybe a few times.
It was very limited, because the first time we left them, DJ was an adult, and the others, I think, Queen Lisa was 16, something like that. And they were old enough to be alone. And we were going on a cruise.
Well, the first thing,
and
they wanted to leave them.
And they wanted
you're
to
mad.
Why we are there.
Why are they coming? And didn't you call it the Queen, and then we had to turn around and
no, that one we did one. That's when they broke that window.
They were there for one. But then the kids were grown, and they still wanted to come.
Yeah, so there's a big
and so we have to go along
and what?
And we brought them before the next one. So
that's a family thing. You can't leave us.
Exactly.
I mean, that makes sense if that's what they've always known. You're not allowed to go on vacations without them.
Exactly.
So how did spirituality play a role in your guys' relationship and in your marriage?
It's very strong for me. For him, it was Okay, it was soccer. And before I married him, though, because my mom never went to church with me unless she's christening a child or whatever, I decided that I wanted us to bring our children up in the church. And he said yes. But the first couple of years, he was not on board because he had to play soccer. Just like when he was young, he couldn't get baptized because he had to play soccer when they were doing baptism.
I was in bad Dominica. I missed baptism about 10 times. I did 10 baptisms for class. But then it was on Saturday I had to baptize, and I had to play soccer. So I just, yeah, I know. So I went to church. When I get a time, if I have games, I in church, I go to games. And when I came up here, it was the same thing. It was the orphans and this for me. I had to love this song.
By the time I was pregnant with Delicia, I was talking to the Lord and I said, he promised me and he's not keeping his promise. So I went to the pastor to talk to the pastor to help me pray this through. And when I spoke to the pastor, I was driving home and I saw the Lord just dangling him like this. And I realized God's got this. Then a couple of weeks later, when Dequina was taking her swimming lessons, she fell into the deep and I was pregnant with Delicia and I was running over to grab her out of the water. I ended up doing a split and I ended up going into premature labor, went to the hospital. They stopped it. So for the last 3 months of my pregnancy, I was basically sort of bedridden because anytime I got up, I was having contractions. And I was so sad because I was like, Delon doesn't go to church. So now the kids won't be able to go to church for the next 3 months. And would you believe he started bringing them? And he stayed with it from that day forward when I was down and out. So before I married him, I saw us doing ministries together, et cetera. So within our marriage, he got baptized. He's worked with me with children's ministry, Pathfinder, young adults, et cetera, taught Sabbath school. So everything that God showed me, I just had to watch it unfold. And And now he is our spiritual leader. We end up both going to Bible school together and both got our PhDs in Bible theology together. So we are now getting settled in our new home in Malabar so that we can see what God has next for us to do.
So when you look at your marriage now and when you guys first got married, what would you go back and tell yourself about marriage?
I would first beat myself up because when I found out about the other children, I told them he needs to go and marry one of those mothers. And now look back for 7 years and I said, God, you blessed me with this man. I almost gave him away because that ignorance, I guess, I don't know. But I am so thankful that I was one that was always obedient to the word of God and always wanting to please him, which ended up blessing me with an awesome.
Oh, you didn't want to get married. So I
don't know. It's not that. It's when I came up here. You know, when you are, it's a cultural difference. Mm-hmm. If I say that I want to get married, I don't want to get married to someone in America that I don't know. Because from what I was hearing, the women in America are different and whatever. So that's why I said I didn't want to get married. But that was one of the reasons. So then I say to myself, I have to get married. Marry somebody from the islands that I know. And she was from the island, so that probably a little in there. Yeah.
So I guess I somewhat tricked him because he married me from the islands, but I don't have any island accents or making any sense. My parents are from Jamaica. I'm now 62, and I was in the States when I was 7. So I wasn't much island, but if I get really upset, if you listen really well, if you're from the islands, you will know that I'm an islander. But my mom said, I'm paid to put you in private school. You will not speak broken English in this house. So therefore, I was not allowed to speak broken English. And so people would say that my English sounds so clean. You know, where are you from? They're not able to quickly identify me. Whereas my siblings, I don't know what happened to my mom, but she allowed them to speak broken English, so they're more Jamaican than I am right now. They'll go down there and get away with saying, you know, I'm from the islands. When I brought them to Jamaica to showcase my island to them, they were laughing at me when I wanted a discount. And then Delon walks over to them and say, what's wrong? And they said, well, because your husband is a Jamaican, we'll give you a discount.
Oh, goodness.
So what has been your favorite part about marriage so far?
I feel like anything that I'm doing, I have a helpmate. Just like he thinks he doesn't need a helpmate, but I'm always his helpmate.
No, he does. The tag team, and I like it because the things I cannot figure out, then she'll figure it out. I think it, with both of us, you have a female, male role, and we're different. So I am a fixer, kind of. If you come to me with something, I just want to fix it. And then she had to go through it to see what's happening. So she has a little connection, cerebral type of, and I am is a physical one, but we help each other like that. And basically, I tell you what is to happen in our first 3 years of marriage. We argue a lot because I had that male stuff in me, that male, not shoving sticks on, but you have to build that with a male ego. And certain things I know have to go certain way, and we always do that. But every time we have a little argument, she wanted to be right. Okay, so that's what we're going to do, rightness she was looking for. And I like to argue, so I like to get the right way. I have to get it right. Anyway, so one day I can say, I said, you're coming in that way. For you, for things to work, you can either choose to be right or you can choose to be happy. So if you're happy, everything will work up okay. She turned around and said, well, you know what? I will choose to be happy, but I will pray God show you that I am right. That's what them. And you know what? A lot of times she was right, maybe 99% of the time she was right for some reason. So I could never win stuff. So then I told everybody that I would go in the fight. So I would get a couple of battles every now and then, but she always won.
But he never says anything to me. But when the kids were teenagers, almost grown, they were talking in the kitchen. And then I overheard him saying to them, you need to listen to your mom. She's usually right.
So I quit. After about the first 3 years, after 3 years, I just quit fighting and just whatever she said.
So and I continue the prayer, saying, Lord, I want to be happy, but please show him.
I was going for 30 years. Yeah, I use that to counsel people. Actually, I met a gentleman in the military and whatever. And for some reason, he came to me, he's a kid, and he was doing something, and he's done reach out. And I did that. And he said, Nick, oh, yeah, your wife beat you up on your head. And she used to do that. Every time she get mad at me, she used to slap on my head. So I used to do that. Anyway. She said, then he told me, I bet you don't go in pension in the family. Your wife went pension in the family. And I just came up with the phrase, you know, I said, Chris, you're probably right. I went pension in the family, but my wife tell me, I don't went pension in the family. But
no, you wait.
I said, I went pension in the family, but my wife tell me which one I'm when I can. I just leave it like that, yeah. So, but yeah, but it worked out good. Yeah.
And being that I was the one that was in control of my sibling, I also spanked them. So when I was married, he said, you're so sure you have to jump up to hit me. But I was not hitting him hard. It was just a tap. It was just me connecting. And he went and scolded me by telling my mother that I was hitting him. And I was not hitting him in the sense to hurt or whatever. It's playful. And my mom sat me down and said, you know what? The devil watches everything. You keep putting your hand to that man's head. One day the devil will jump in and he'll give you a slap. You never imagine. And I thought about that and I was like, she's right. Because when I was learning how to play, do karate, I try to show him and I was getting hurt all the time. I was like, I'm done practicing. So I thought about that and what my mom was saying, I said, I am done. So I stopped. So on the talk show, can I say I'm sorry for that? All right.
So that was your favorite thing about marriage, but what's your favorite thing about each other?
I just love his accent. I told him that as long as he has his accent, he's my husband. So he has to keep that accent. He's very caring. I just feel like we connect so much that God gives me these crazy visions. And by the time I speak it, he's able to bring it to the physical realm. And my kids think that he creates miracles for me, which he does. Like one time when I started the school, I needed cubicles. And I went to the Home Depot. I took the classes. And he comes home and I said, guess what? We're going to make cubicles. Guess what? Within that month, I had all the cubicles I needed.
And that's what I liked about her. She is a visionary. She would see things. And at first, I used to balk it a lot of times. But she would tell me about it. And then I would try to block it, but then for some reason, come around exactly what she told me. I see it in the spirit. And then sure enough, it will come around. So after a while, I stopped blocking because of what she used to do to me, to mess me up. And she used to let me, DJ, and he didn't like it. He would ask her to explain with me. I need you to tell me something and something. I need you to explain me on what is going on. She told me, that's what he told me. I tell you that I just get it from the Lord. I don't know how to explain it. And when she tells me, it messes me up. Because then that's what the Lord told me, so I didn't have to go around. And more than likely, just whatever she said. So that's what got me to listen to all that. But at first, I bucket a lot at first. But she tells me, I see something happening. This is what is going to happen. Go through it with them. And she was right about making me stuff. Certain things she tells me I can do. I've never done it before. So that was an interesting one. We had to make tables and cubicles. I never used a router before. She went, take a class, go to and tell me she take the class for me, and I'm going to do it. It makes no sense.
But that's what I want.
So she went home to take the class, and here's the router. Router I never used, but I know using the router. And they got my last cubicle. So, but yeah, so that is one sign of my. She's getting it. She said, I am a vision.
If you could give people advice for a successful marriage, what is a piece of advice you would give people?
I would say whenever you are upset with your spouse, think about why you married them, how much they mean to you before you open your mouth and speak, and never speak in anger.
And what I say is just you love that person more than they love you. That's what I say. I just going to love you more than you love me. And if both of you, I love her, she loves me, but I love her more, she'll say she loves me more. That's it. You just do everything in love. It's going to be tough. You just never give up.
Divorce, unless there is abuse. There's a
covenant marriage.
Yeah, there's abuse, whatever. Yeah. It's until death do you part.
I never, because I tell her I married, I never wanted, and I always say I never wanted to marry, but I say I'm in it, and that is it. I don't have any way out. So just, I never wanted to, but I'm married, and I'm married. So that's why I am not remarrying. That's why I cannot remarry.
So when he says he's not remarrying, I would say that's the only missing part of our marriage, is just to have family come together and just
it's repeat. It's not a ring.
But that's what you're saying, a renewal. I say my marriage is not old. I married a long time ago. As long as it's not old, I don't need it to be renewed.
That's the only sin within the 2 years that I can
remember. Yep. It's not old. What I'm renewing it for? It's not old. And I'm not remarried. I have to unmarry first before I remarry. So I cannot unmarry, so there's no remarriage or a second marriage. Whatever terms they use, the terms that I cannot understand the terms. Oh, she tell me, for it to show everybody, for it to show me to the world. I said, I'm on the world to see.
Let's have a party. Call it a party.
I still don't want that. It's not, it's my stuff. Why do people want to come into it? It's not that she thinks I'm threatening. I'm not threatening that. I say, if you do anything secret and say, I'll be there, you'll be on the altar by yourself. I'm not coming. I'm not a threatener.
Well, it's kept me at bay because I could see it happening. So therefore, I said, if the Lord wants me to have it, it's going to take the divine intervention, which means the angel will have to speak to him and get up with a dream and says, honey, we need to plan this. If it doesn't come from him, it's not happening.
Fair enough. Did you have any questions, Janelle?
No, I love this story.
All right. Well, Delon and Angie, we want to say thank you guys so much for taking the time out of your schedule to just come and talk with us and letting us know about your story and how you went from I do not want to get married to we are married for life. But before we let you guys go, we want to ask you one last question that we ask all of our guests. And that question
is marriage worth it?
For me, 100%.
Yeah, most definitely. I couldn't see it any other way. I couldn't, even though I didn't want to get married, all that time married, I couldn't see it without being married, especially married.
And there you have it. It is a 100% and a yes from Delon and Angie.
You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Marriage Worth It. You can also email us at marriageworthit@gmail.com.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And this has been
Is Marriage Worth It?